are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Monday, October the 28th. And we've seen all the Andres already in three games. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News, an Associated Press Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast through social media, through word of mouth, however you spread your words throughout the daily basis. But today we're going to run down the action from Saturday's loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm going to talk about where I'm at with Andre, about the takes flying around over the weekend after Saturday's game. Just kind of set the parameters of the discussion. You can think what you want, but let's kind of get on the same page about a few things. I also have a take on the starting lineup as well. I know there's a lot of takes flying around about that too. And gotta love it, three games into 82. And tonight we're going to also look ahead to tonight's game against the Indiana Pacers. They're back in town looking for revenge and winless as well. But hey, Halloween's coming up. So why don't you send along Halloween costume ideas for Pistons, past and present, maybe people associated with the franchise, maybe me, maybe you, maybe people in Pistons Twitter. Send along and give us a call on the Google voicemail line, or just send it along and maybe I'll read them this week as we lead up to Thursday's Halloween. Give us a call on the Google voicemail line. That's 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Just call, leave your name, leave a voicemail, and we'll play some of those throughout the week as well. But give me a follow on social media. Twitter is the best place to find me. Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore to that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. But check us out on Facebook, too. I know a lot of you guys are on Facebook, I'm sure. Maybe not some of the younger guys. I think the 20s crowd is not on the Facebook anymore because their folks are on there and all that good stuff. But if you're on Facebook, do me a favor. Find the Locked On Pistons account. Give us a like on there. The engagement helps. All that good stuff. We really appreciate that as well. But the Pistons dropped the second game in three games on Saturday, falling to the Joel Embiid-less Philadelphia 76ers at home, 117-111. Full disclosure, I did not watch this game live, but I went back and watched the fourth quarter on Sunday in addition to the highlights as well. Also followed all of your tweets on Saturday night while I watched Michigan beat the living crap out of Notre Dame on Saturday night in Ann Arbor. But the Pistons were without Blake Griffin for the third straight game. They will be without him for certainly at least two more games, although the smart money is on longer than that, at least this week, I would guess, as far as him being out for probably four more games. I kind of put the end of this week as Saturday as kind of the low end of maybe he's going to come back. But you know, suppose he could surprise. They talked about checking him out on a reevaluation in early November. November starts on Friday, and they play Friday night and Saturday. So optimistic, to say the least, to think that he might be back on Friday. So like I said, I'm going to throw in my personal calculation that he'll be out Friday and Saturday as well. And of course, we also don't know what reevaluation means. Maybe there's a grim prognosis and that we might be looking at more time and that they're deciding whether or not to have a surgery on something or something like that. This is not me reporting. This is me certainly speculating about that. So we'll see. And obviously, we'll keep an eye on what we hear from the beat reporters and other folks around the Pistons as well. But the Reggie Jackson missed the game on Saturday night as well with the back issue. Sekou Doumbouya has not made his NBA debut as well. Been out with a concussion. It's kind of dragged on a little bit. We haven't heard any updates about it. He's been at games in the suit, but we don't know much about Sekou. But, of course, we don't have much expectation for him contributing as an 18-year-old rookie as well. But the guys that did play, 31 for Derrick Rose in the loss, 14 of 21 from the field, 3 assists, 6 turnovers, 23 turnovers for the team in what seemed to be a truly dreadful game from what you guys were talking about throughout. He said on Sunday to reporters that Derrick Rose, that he played terribly. He didn't play terribly. He played well, but the turnovers are concerning, absolutely. And it obviously played a role in the Pistons' collapse in the final few minutes. And as a competitor, he should feel like he played terrible, even though, again, to be clear, Derrick Rose did not play terrible, but he should feel like he did, and that's a good thing, a good sign. Shows that he's focused on the right things, trying to get the wins, not satisfied with the fact that he dropped 31 points, all that good stuff. But he only played 27 minutes, a lot of points per minute for him so far this season. Sixth in the NBA in points per 36 at 34.6 points per game, only behind Karl-Anthony Thomas, Kyrie Irving, Trae Young, remember him, Taco Fall, who has played 4 minutes, and Eli Okobo, who has played 7 minutes. So obviously a couple of bit players there. But also for the Pistons, Markieff Morris, 17-6, his best game in a Detroit Pistons uniform, 16 points for Luke Kennard off the bench. Andre Drummond, 13 points and 12 rebounds, 3 of 10 from the free throw line. Foul trouble throughout his 25 minutes before he committed his sixth foul and was asked to leave. And Christian Wood had 11 points and 5 rebounds. Surprise, surprise, productive minutes from a guy that Pistons Twitter loves and Pistons Nation has fallen in love with. Already another DNP for Svi Mykhailiuk. He has not played yet this season after seeming to be in the rotation in the preseason. I'm a Svi guy. I don't understand it. Langston Galloway, by the way, to his credit, is playing okay. But big picture, I do wonder where you're going as a franchise if Langston Galloway is getting 26 minutes and Svi can't get off the bench. Other problems, Tony Snell, Bruce Brown, Langston Galloway, 15 points over 67 minutes in Saturday's game. Need wings who can score and add something to something. Tony Snell had one of the Is Tony Snell Alive games, and that's a problem. Pistons shoot 8 of 19 from three-point land. What is up with this? Great 42% efficiency, but they're not shooting enough threes. They forgot about the shot spectrum, apparently, in the offseason and during the short training camp. Derrick Rose and the other point guards need to get on the same page as Dwayne Casey. Where is Svi Mykhailiuk? I think that could help that as well. More on that going forward, but 29 points for Tobias Harris. He's good. We should get him on our team. 23 points and 9 rebounds and 5 assists for Al Horford. 13 and 10 and 7 steals for Ben Simmons. Philadelphia, 13 of 34 from 3, playing like a real modern NBA team. 5 more points on made 3-pointers, and they won by 6. It's a simple game. Sometimes would like to see the Pistons hoist up the threes, although I don't like the style of the new NBA where you need to shoot 30-plus 3-pointers to be successful. It is what it is. It is what we're dealing with, so the Pistons need to get back on that same page to win modern NBA basketball. But the Pistons now 1-2, a half game outside of the playoffs. Let's start the playoff watch. What's the magic number? I don't know. As we suspect, might be the case all season. I think 500 gets you in, so that's kind of where you got to be. And I think that's where the Pistons will hover around this season. I think that's the expectation for all of us, and we'll see how this goes. But around the East, what you need to know from week one, the teams the Pistons have lost to are undefeated. Atlanta and Philadelphia are combined 4-0, both 2-0. The team that the Pistons have beat, Indiana, is defeated at 0-2. And those are the only three out of the only four Eastern Conference teams that are either defeated or undefeated. So interesting there that the Pistons are playing the extremes. The other one is the New York Knicks at 0-3. Defeated is a perfect way to describe the New York Knicks, and that's what they are. At 0-3, with the Pistons and Pacers tonight at Little Caesars Arena. Much more on that later on. But most importantly right now, Indochino, the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Up next, I got some thoughts on Andre Drummond and the starting lineup, the hot takes after three games. Coming to you, that's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we will look ahead to tonight against the Indiana Pacers, but we all have the starting lineup takes out there. Tim Frazier joins the starting lineup with Markieff and Bruce Brown and Andre Drummond as they try to figure out, and Tony Snell, obviously, as they try to navigate their way through a time without Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson. It doesn't work. The starting lineup falls behind big, and the second unit kind of bails them out in the second quarter, and then more of the same to start the third quarter. So I saw, I think, the blogs, everyone had articles saying that Dwayne Casey's got to change up the starting lineup. A lot of people were going pretty hard on him. And I think the biggest thing is this. There will be times during the game where there will be bad players on the court. That's the limitations of the Pistons roster. A lot of rosters in the NBA, but certainly the Pistons roster. And I think it's just a little crazy to me that everyone's only reaction to all these lack of good players is to blame Dwayne Casey and not something like more big picture saying, why do we have so many bad players? But yeah, you know, I kind of do agree in this situation with Blake Griffin out. I would like to see Luke Kennard start. I think that you have three good players with Blake Griffin on the bench. And I totally understand not starting Derrick Rose. Tough situation there with the minutes restriction that they've got on. That's the reality that we have to live with here as Pistons fans. But I think you should put Luke out there, get him going early in the games, and don't put too much pressure on Andre to feel like he needs to carry the offense to start games and to start the half as well. But no, I'm not going to lose sleep over the starting lineup. Again, you just have to kind of pick your poison. When do you want certain bad players to be on the floor? Andre Drummond was only able to play 25 minutes because of foul trouble. Derrick Rose was able to play 27 minutes because he's Derrick Rose. And then you got Luke Kennard out there. I think he played something like 31 minutes, and you're watching his minutes as well. That's what you got. You know, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, other than that, you're going to have 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 marginal NBA players out on the floor. So, you know, what time of the, you know, what time do they put certain guys out? What time do they have different combinations out there? Again, it sounds a lot like Tigers fans bitching at Jim Leland about the goddamn batting order all those years, right? I'm not one that really cares about 5-man offensive and defensive ratings, especially in a single game. I think that's the epitome of advanced stats gone too far. I think you can have certain combinations and say that these two players play together well, these three players play together well. But I think that the days of 5-man, looking at 5-man units and extrapolating a lot of useful information for the future, I think that those days have kind of sailed by. And I think that even those in the analytics committee community have the hardcore folks have kind of moved on past that. It was the flavor of the couple years there for a little while, but I don't think that's something that real, you know, people are serious about in terms of something that is a real consideration, that just because these five guys are together, and certainly there are exceptions. There's the lineup of death with the Warriors, and maybe there's certain closing lineups that teams should have. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about throughout the course of 48 minutes, these certain five guys together, unless there are real reasons that certain units would work together. I don't think the Pistons have players that are that unique that can mold and bend together. They're just not very good right now, and I think that's the bigger problem. But yeah, get Luke in, and no, not a big deal. But yeah, let's talk Andre Drummond a little bit. And no, I'm not going to fire off a bunch of hot takes after three games, but just a little bit of chatter that I want to set the parameters of the discussion in as we're here in the early season. A few numbers for you. Nikola Vucevic this offseason, 4 years, $100 million. Al Horford this offseason, 4 years, $109 million. Domantas Sabonis the other day, 4 years, $77 million. Bonuses mean that could reach $85 million. Most of them are unlikely bonuses. Last year, Miles Turner extension, 4 years, $80 million. My point is that Andre Drummond, who is due to be a restricted free agent, or I'm sorry, he has a player option next year for $28.75 million. He's nowhere near what is a max player. So let's stop referring to the term max player when having any kind of discussion about Andre Drummond. A max player for someone is Drummond's experience, I think he's 8 years in the league, the Pistons can offer him max player status at 5 years, $208 million. Other teams can offer a max of 4 years, $152.5 million. The term max player, there's no world that exists that he's worth anything near quote-unquote max player, so let's stop using that term forever. And again, I'm not saying this to denigrate Andre Drummond. I just feel like we need to kind of set these parameters. The term max player gets thrown around too much, and it's incorrect in terms of any kind of discussion about Andre Drummond. So let's be a little bit smarter of a fan base when we talked about these things. He was asked about it in this preseason, and I think he said what he should have said. We'd all like to think that we're max players. I'd like to think I'm a max podcaster. I bet you guys all think you're a max handyman or a Max friend or a Max lover. You know, whatever you think you're a Max at, you should think you're the Max at that. But this fan base, and I know it's like a line in the sand, right, with Andre Drummond, unfairly for him over the years. There's the small minority segment that thinks that Andre Drummond is Bill Russell, and then there's the other guys who all think he's Chuck Nevitt. So, but let's just be kind of clear and all get on the same page that there's no world that exists where Andre Drummond is worth $41 million a year and Nikola Vucevic is worth $25, or that Andre Drummond is worth $40 million a year and Al Horford is worth $27 million a year. Watch Sabonis and Turner tonight. Those guys are making $20, $19 million, depending on bonuses, per season. There's no way that Andre Drummond is worth double of those guys. So just I wanted to get that those parameters out there. Again, watch that tonight. Turner and Sabonis still trying to figure it out, the two big men, kind of like the Pistons, Griffin and Drummond, when Blake's back. They're calling them Turbonus, by the way, Turner and Sabonis. So interesting, obviously a Central Division rival the Pistons need to keep an eye on there. But now if Drummond signed a similar deal to what Vucevic did or what Horford did, talking about that four-year, $100 million range, you know, is Drummond's about the equal of Vucevic in terms of stage of his career, possible future development, obviously Vucevic being more advanced of an offensive player, Drummond being a little bit better of a defensive player, Al Horford being a better player than Andre Drummond, but because of his age, he can't get that huge deal that a Blake Griffin gets. Now, again, 4 years, $100 million, just like those guys signed this past offseason, that would be the ballpark of a fair value for Andre Drummond. Again, nowhere near, quote-unquote, max player. Would I like it if Andre Drummond signed a four-year, $100 million contract for the Pistons? That's a question for another day. But in terms of worth and value and all that, Andre Drummond is nowhere near a max player, so let's stop doing it. But, you know, three games in, we've seen the full Andre, right? He was the world beater on Wednesday, couldn't do anything wrong. Solid start to Thursday's game on the back-to-back. When he's getting involved and not trying to do much, disappeared in the second half Thursday, kind of like the whole team did, second half of back-to-back. A little bit reminiscent of the early years, and I don't think he's that guy anymore, but he showed a little reminder of the lack of motor and all those complaints that people had for his first 5 years or so before the septic surgery there. But Saturday, you know, he took on too much. He spiraled emotionally, a little bit maddening to watch in the fourth quarter. The drives, you know, I think the success that he had driving against Indiana in the opener, this guy didn't turn into Kyrie Irving in the offseason. So maybe, you know, maybe that's not the best offense. Maybe it's not the best thing in the world that Andre was so successful on Wednesday, because not like things changed in terms of how that's not an efficient thing for the Pistons to do. But again, desperate times call for desperate measures. The Pistons need to do something offensively. Someone has to make a play out here. So I applaud the initiative, the energy, and the stick-to-itiveness, I guess, of Andre Drummond. But it just gets too far when he feels like he needs to make a basket. And it's always that. You know, the bad play is just always him going out of his element, trying to do something that he really can't do consistently. You know, going full court late with the game on the line, taking it all the way 90 feet against the 76ers, missing the reverse layup. We've seen that act before, and it proved to be a huge play in this game against Philadelphia. Again, so Andre Drummond is a very good player, a very improved player. You can win with Andre Drummond if you have other good players, if you pay him properly within the team construct of a good cap sheet, right in that $20 to $25 million range. Maybe you try to play hardball and knock it down a little bit less than that. But this idea that he is a quote-unquote max player, I'd really like that talk to stop, just so we can kind of just get on the same level and have a discussion around the parameters of how they should be made in terms of what the Pistons should do going forward. We can all kind of agree on certain parameters, and I think that's one of them that we should have. But another thing we can agree on is on Twitter, you should follow the Locked On NBA Net Twitter account. It's a collection of all the hosts on one Twitter feed. It's really cool during the day to catch up on the news and during a full slate of games as well. And also check out Instagram, same handle, Locked On NBA Net, highlighting the biggest stories of the NBA. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Pacers. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. 7 o'clock game tonight at Little Caesars Arena, the Pistons and the Pacers Central Division Showdown. Sounds like Reggie Jackson may play, according to the reporters that were there at practice on Sunday. He was officially listed as doubtful on the late NBA report on Sunday. I'll keep an eye on the 130 official injury report, so check that out on Twitter as well. Jeremy Lamb may not play. He had a hip he has a hip injury. He did not play on Saturday night against the Cavaliers. And if he is out there, you want to go after a guy defensively with the hip injury, so look for that. Maybe a chance to hit the paint if you're a Bruce Brown type or whoever, maybe Derrick Rose, whoever Jeremy Lamb might be covering. You might want to go at him. We know that Tony Snell, that's not really his game, although could get out in transition and maybe make some things happen there. The Pacers come into town with some urgency. They are 0-2. They have the we need to win a damn game thing going for them, which could play in their favor. Early in the season, I'm big on motivations to win. You don't want your season to spiral out of control. So when you're looking at a 0-2 or 1-5 or something like that, NBA teams have a way of digging deep. And I think that we might see that from the Indiana Pacers tonight. They lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers in John Beilein's first NBA win on Saturday night. Kind of got blown out there. Ew. But Malcolm Brogdon did have 30 points, 10 assists. So he's coming along. But the rest of the Pacers right now are not. Although, going in, Vegas likes the Indiana on the road. Pistons are two-point dogs at home. So that means with the 3 points that you get for being at home, the NBA believes that the Pacers are 5 points better than the Detroit Pistons right now. Would be nice to see someone other than Andre Drummond, Derrick Rose, or Luke Kennard have a nice game, although we know that those are the three most important players right now. I don't see anyone on this roster who's going to do it consistently, but you can have a good game every now and then. Looking at guys like Markieff Morris, who played, again, his best game as a Piston on Saturday. I was probably too hard on him last week. Remains to be seen, but it's mostly been a rough start for him this season. No doubt about that. And I'll say it again, Svi Mykhailiuk. You know, I really think with Reggie and Blake out, this team is struggling for offense. He's someone who can help offensively. He can hoist threes, which is something they need. The numbers are not good right there. They're not throwing up enough three-pointers. It's a systematic problem. It's an offensive problem, but it's also a personnel problem. And I think Svi Mykhailiuk can be out there solving some of those personnel problems for you there too. You know, Luke Kennard's kind of the Luke Kennard and Langston Galloway being asked to do a little bit more than they usually do, especially Luke Kennard as his game develops. So maybe Svi in that standstill shooter role a little bit could be helpful to a lot of those guys out there. And, you know, I think that offense is at least a little bit more important, at least obviously somewhat more important than defense in today's NBA. I think we know that. Probably a lot more offense being more important than defense, if we're being honest. And you can overlook some of the defensive woes of a guy like Svi Mykhailiuk. Ideally, you have players who can do both. And that's out of the realm of possibility right now. Speaking of which, speaking of players who can't do both right now, I know there's a lot of Bruce Brown heat out there with his struggles offensively so far. If you listen to this show, you know I'm a Bruce guy. It's a tough time for us Bruce guys right now. I'm going to keep a close eye on him tonight and the next few games, talk about what they're doing with him offensively and what they should be doing with him offensively. So I'm looking forward to continuing the talk about Bruce Brown. Looking forward to hearing Dwayne Casey talk about how Bruce Brown could play point guard someday, get the ball in his hands, and then just throwing him out there and not having him play point guard, asking him to do the things that he can't do. But maybe that's the answer tonight. Maybe tonight's finally that night where they give him a shot and see what he can do with his ball, with the ball in his hands. But again, you know, one of those nights where I'd like the coaching staff to like to see what they have as far as ideas and answers for a team. Again, albeit a very limited roster right now, this team without Blake Griffin is not very good. We know that. It's a temporary situation, hopefully. Well, we hope that. And hopefully there's a way that this team can be somewhere near at or even possibly slightly above 500 by the time that Blake Griffin gets back. This game tonight, a winnable game, but certainly a very losable game as well. A red letter game as well. The Pistons are 1-0 in those. I've still got Atlanta as a non-red letter game. I could be wrong about that, but Pistons need to take care of home court right now before they hit the road for a couple. Toronto on Wednesday, Chicago on Friday, Brooklyn back home on Saturday as we enter week two here with the NBA. And looking forward to checking out the action this week, seeing how the Pistons do. Indiana, Toronto, Chicago, and Brooklyn. To me, that sounds like, you know, unfortunately, a possible 1-3 week. Could be 2-2. I think that's the best you can hope for. And we'll see how it all shakes down. But speaking of how it shakes down, the Locked On Podcast Network. We're on fire right now. Locked On NBA. You got Rejecting the Screen with Noah and Adam. You got Hollinger and Duncan. Great show there. I'm interested. I'm excited to check out their show weekly. It should be out Monday. So looking for that. Also looking for your Halloween costume ideas for Pistons. A little bit of a lame radio shtick that we'll try to get some mileage out of. And also, like I said, I'm taking a look at Bruce Brown. So if you got a take on Bruce Brown, you got a thoughts on how they should use him. If you think he's garbage, you think he's great, whatever you think, give us a call on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546. Let us know what you think about Bruce Brown. But that'll do it for today's show. This is your boy, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Stan, thanks for listening. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow and recapping Pacers versus Pistons. Enjoy, everyone.